on another exciting edition of Animation Deliberation. We're calling this episode our best of 2021 and our most anticipated for 2022 in terms of animated content. And we are excited to get into that right after some ads that we have no say over whatsoever. So do not turn that dial. We'll be right back. Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation. A conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series. Yeah.
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 Well, I'm really glad to get that musical participation because that sets me up perfectly for what is about to happen next.
Bum, bum, bum.
See, I am Jay Scotty, and I'd like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. Well, so far, you've heard my voice, but I've brought two friends along, and next on the mic is my man, Zoo. Come on, Zoo, sing that song.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Well, that went over better than I thought it was going to. All right, well, as you heard, I'm Jay Scotty. I will let my other two co-hosts introduce themselves. Zuhair, what's going on?
I'm Zuhair. I'm clapping because I'm happy to be here.
Very good. Very good. And Andrew, you actually got that reference. I'm pretty happy. How you doing, man?
I am doing fantastic, but I'm really happy Zuhair flubbed that because I don't know what I actually would have said. I could have done the real rap, but introducing myself freestyle would not have gone well.
Do you actually know all the words?
Oh, yeah, I could do... There's an abridged version that's like 8 or 9 minutes, and I know every word to that. When you get into like the full 14-minute version or whatever it is off the album, I get a little shaky, but...
Oh, wow. I'm very impressed. That's awesome. One of these days, we'll have to have you break it down for us.
We'll do a Stranded Panda karaoke night and see what happens here.
I would love that so much. All right, well... As stated at the top of the episode, this is a little bit of a different episode. It's going to be a feedback heavy episode. We're taking not really a break because right after this, we're going to get back into our weekly Demon Slayer coverage. But, you know, we put that call out there on the Instagram that Andrew's been doing such a tremendous job facilitating, and we got a fair amount of feedback. So now it's time to talk about it. So I suppose we will start with the 2021, the best of. And let's see. I suppose we didn't really discuss this off air, but maybe we should just... Does everybody have access to the feedback document?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Add it up.
Yeah. Well, I guess I will start. We've got Amita Vala Varapu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She said Young Justice was her favorite of 2021. I think we can all agree there.
Anyone who's in support of Young Justice, I support fully.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know how much more we can say about it. We've devoted the majority of this content, podcast to Young Justice content. So you are in good company, Amita. Who wants to take John?
John's favorite of 2021 was Invincible and What If. All the heroes.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with Invincible, especially. I kind of talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but just that spoilers for Invincible, if you haven't watched it, you know, definitely check it out on Amazon Prime. But there's a big showdown between the character of Mark Grayson and his father, and you know, just that was really spoke to me a lot with my own relationship with my own father, and I was actually moved to tears by that particular fight. So definitely good stuff. And next up we've got V, who's got a little bit of a crossover from some of the stuff we've heard already.
Yeah, V said Invincible is their favorite property of 2021, but Young Justice is a close second. I think some of the people on the Instagram definitely thought they had to have it narrowed down to one, and I think once we get into our host's favorite, you will hear a laundry list that says none of us could pick any one thing, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with both of those as well, and... Also, tagging on to what you said earlier, Jay Scotty, I feel like it should be a statement, just blanket across this feedback episode, spoilers for anything we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Good call.
If you haven't seen it, we're probably going to say some good things and other such items about any and all of the shows in 2021.
For sure. And then it looks like V actually provided us with his best moment of 2021. So we should probably go ahead and discuss that one. You and I, Andrew, definitely know all about this one.
Yeah, they didn't say specifically what in Star Wars Visions. The answer to the question was just Star Wars Visions as their favorite part of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I have to agree, that show was just an amalgamation of best moments across the board. Like, that was some of the best action you could get for money in animation in such a quick, rapid-hitting episode, action kind of way.
Yeah. For my own particular headcanon, I'm going to imagine that specifically they're talking about the Ninth Jedi. Because
yes,
just
yes,
cannot...
you beat me to it. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Zuhair, once you listen to that podcast, you'll know that Jay Scotty and I talked at length about that episode.
Oh, it's incredible. Incredible.
It's like, I don't even want to watch past it because it just set such a good taste in my mouth. I don't want it ruined.
One little caveat I will provide to that. There was that episode, I can't remember what the episode was titled, but it was obviously very much inspired by Astro Boy. And I actually watched the Astro Boy film from 2009. And I didn't know that the character's name was actually Toby. So the whole TOB1, all of that was like just so much. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Someone out there was definitely yelling at us when we recorded that podcast.
I'm sure they were. But, you know, Astro Boy is a little bit more of a old school property, but yeah, definitely nice to see it live on. So continuing with the feedback here, we've got Alan Pratt. And this is a little bit different. They brought up She-Ra, which we haven't talked about at all. I think that was on Netflix. And I think Matthew Fox has brought that up once or twice. So definitely a fan there. And then, of course, Invincible and What If.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about She-Ra. It's on my list. I know it was a very old property that they kind of redid on Netflix in the last couple years. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. So I'm glad someone's pitching us something new, because maybe that means one of us will get around to it. Maybe that means we'll talk more about it.
Yeah, if there's enough interest out there, or if I just happen to, you know, stumble down that rabbit hole one day, we could be talking about it. All right, who's next?
Next up is Christine talking about Young Justice and What If. There is balance between DC and Marvel.
Oh, that's a wonderful point. Yeah.
So happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm. And definitely in good company here. All right.
And next we had Stephen Lyles, and their answer was The Mitchells and the Machines. They said was one of the best animated films of 2021.
Mitchells, yeah. Versus the Machines.
Mitchells versus the Machines. Apologies. Have either of you seen this?
Not yet, but it's kind of in a similar boat to She-Ra. I know it's on Netflix, and I've only heard the highest praise, and it seems to be getting critical acclaim. So it is on the watch list, but I'm glad it was mentioned here.
I didn't even hear about it until we made this call to action, and people were talking about it so much that I was like, did I miss out on something important? Whoops.
Yeah, I saw a couple different websites like Screen Rant and such put it in the top 5 animated films of this year. So it was getting at least some notice outside of the numerous pandas that we will get to that did talk about this. Yeah. Should I be calling them pandas or animation enthusiasts? What are we?
valued listeners.
Thank you. Because
not everyone's here. Not everyone that listens is a panda. So we want to make sure that we're spreading love to all of our listeners from wherever part you are.
True that. Yeah, and all that being said, I will say that I think Netflix marketing kind of failed on that one a little bit, but
yeah,
that's neither.
I don't think I ever saw any type of promotion for it. It was just, yeah, oh, this is something people are watching.
Yeah,
I think that's a whole other conversation, that Netflix's marketing is just word of mouth, and if you didn't hear it from the right people, then you probably didn't see it.
Yeah, that's true, and probably more so for animated stuff. I think outside of like Big Mouth and maybe like the Masters of the Universe. Yeah, Castlevania. There you go. Yeah, those have been in the public eye a little bit more so, I would say. Anyway, moving on to Ron Kantrowitz, he mentioned Encanto, which I think is kind of unique on this list. I don't think anybody else brought up Encanto. And had we done this a week ago, I would not have been able to say that I'd seen Encanto, but I actually just watched it on Disney Plus randomly the other night, and I did think it was delightful. Two of the songs in particular really stood out to me. The one about, I won't remember the character's name, but the strong sister, her song had like a kind of like hip-hop vibe to it that I really dug. And then the song about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. No. But definitely a fun time. I don't know if it reached the heights of Raya for me, but Disney rarely misses the mark when it comes to their animated stuff.
That's a pretty high bar, bud.
Yeah, true that. Okay. And moving on, we actually have a person that has appeared on at least one episode of this podcast. Did she join you for Mugen Train? I can't remember.
Mugen Train was it. She hasn't been on for any Entertainment District episodes yet.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, let's not bury the lead. Who are we talking about?
Sarah Day McDougall had a list of What If, Demon Slayer, and Doug Days of Our Lives.
I haven't seen Doug Days of Our Lives, but I have to imagine that's probably on Disney Plus, and I love the original Doug series. I myself relate to Doug a lot. I like to draw, and I was a little bit of a more shy kid, but the Days of Our Lives homage is hilarious to me because nobody in my family watched too many soap operas except for my grandma watching General Hospital, but my mom had a period of time where she watched Days of Our Lives every single day at the same time. So I watched a lot of a particular arc of Days of Our Lives. And what ended up being really odd about that is when I moved to California, my first roommate, he was a child actor and he actually appeared on Days of Our Lives and I watched him on that show.
Huh.
So yeah, pretty wild. Yeah, pretty wild.
So I don't want to break your heart too much here, Jay Scotty.
Oh.
But it's I may have misspelled Doug when carrying over the feedback here. So apologies on that. It is Doug D-U-G referencing Doug the dog from Up. It was a series of shorts about Doug, and it might even just be called Doug Days as I'm trying to look this up, but again the feedback just carried over a little bit weird when we were doing this. So I apologize for that. Well, it might be one of the best things that could have come from it. It's about Doug the dog from the movie.
Okay. Don't even sweat it because I made a big assumption and you know what happens when you assume. So.
And you were
That for a minute too.
I didn't know how to say something. I was like, I need to look this up. He's just going for it. I got to make sure before I correct him that I'm talking about the right thing.
I saw Andrew's face just shift and I was like, what is he thinking right now?
Oh, see, I'm looking at the feedback and not you guys. So let me change that so that I can see both. That would probably be helpful.
Yeah, you probably would have caught my confused face as I'm frantically typing on my keyboard, like, what's going on?
That was pretty fun to watch. Just Jay Scotty like going into it with his hands and Andrew just freaking out on his keyboard. I'm like, this is weird. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a fun episode.
And my job as organizer has been lost. Goodbye, everyone. I will see you next time.
No worries.
It's cute that you think we can pick up the slack. Do want to mention that anime finally hit the list. I'm just excited that people talk about anime. It's fun.
Is this really our first entry?
The first anime.
Oh my!
You might count Star Wars Visions, but if you don't, that's understandable. True. Yeah,
I would count it as anime. I mean,
yeah,
it was from very high profile animation or anime animation companies. So,
yeah, true that.
Would not want to sully their names.
True.
Not at all. Okay, and the next person up here, I see I have already misspoke in terms of one of the movies I just mentioned, but Andrew, take it away.
Next, we had Emily Sissel, I believe. It's either Sissel. Cecil, thank you. She responded with Encanto, Mitchells versus the Machines, and Wish Dragon, which was one I had not heard of either. I believe it was a Sony animated property or of some sort came out on Netflix.
Okay.
You're kind of getting a peek behind the curtain, listeners, that I did all of this so I could kind of look up what I didn't know and then send it to him right before we were going on air. So I may have a little bit more insight, but obviously not too much.
That dragon looks interesting.
Yeah, the animation style looked very bubbly and kind of fun.
Okay.
But
we got an all-Asian cast, too.
Oh, nice. Well, that just makes me excited to have something I have no familiarity with whatsoever.
What the heck is this? I'm just looking at the images like, oh.
Let's see.
I want to watch it now.
It reminds me a lot of, like, if Disney were to redo American Dragon, Jake Long, a Disney TV show from like the early 2000s. Yeah, it has the very, again, bubbly animation style, but I have no idea. I didn't see anything about this.
It looks like DreamWorks. Like, it almost kind of reminds me of like How to Train Your Dragon, but even more like cartoonized, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's got a hell of a cast, like John Cho and Jimmy O Yang, who I love from Silicon Valley. Constance Wu, nice, yeah.
This might just have to make the should watch list.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Thank you, Emily, for your enthusiasm for animation, introducing us to something we didn't know about. All right, so
Emily's good people.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And we've got Mr. Gregory Cayley sounding off with Bad Batch and What If. And yeah, once again, definitely a good company. I think this is the first time Bad Batch has come up. And if you've listened to any of the episodes that we did, we also did some crossover with the Star Wars Universe podcast. And that just really set a bar in a lot of ways for like serialized animation.
Yeah.
3D, like, computer serialized animation.
Yeah, just that balance of making things look as realistic as possible, but still respecting the artwork that they used in Rebels and Clone Wars. Just, man, so good.
Yeah, that's actually a great point, because as I haven't watched Rebels, and I've only seen selected parts of Clone Wars, but I know that the Rebels series seemed to borrow from like the concept art of Ralph McQuarrie a little more so. So that is a great call out, the fact that it was able to kind of create some unity between two disparate art styles. Not that they were completely different, but definitely accolades to the show for that effort.
I was talking to Haley Hobbs from Source Pages about Rebels, because we were just randomly wanting to do a rewatch, and I tell you, season two of that show is some of the best television I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rebels is so good.
We will have to put that on the docket of shows to cover. I think Star Wars Universe podcast is covering it right now.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Go check them out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Jordan Carrido talking about Bad Batch, What If, and Arcane. And speaking of shows that was on my list that I could never make it to, Arcane was definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to speak poorly of any of these shows, and I did not actually watch Arcane. I have this weirdness with the way that a lot of these companies seem to be partnering with other brands. Arcane specifically, I believe, is partnered with like League of Legends. It's based on those characters.
Correct. Yeah.
And I just find myself immediately, like, if I don't care about the brand that they've partnered with, I'm not necessarily as inclined to take myself away from other shows that I'm already watching to put time into that. So I've heard good things about it. I definitely want to watch it, and I'm glad someone brought up that it's worth a watch. I wanted to put it out on the air in case anyone important ever heard it, to be like, hey, maybe this isn't the best path forward, because it definitely makes it really weird, because none of my friends currently have seen it. So I couldn't hear anything good about it until I actually started looking into it after I saw this feedback.
So the only reason that I was interested in it is because Guru Irvin, who did the episode of Raya with us, told me that I should watch it. And that was enough reason to just be like, okay. He said that he has no connection to League of Legends either, so it was just, he watched it solely on the show and said it was worth watching. So I was like, okay, that's all I need.
Yeah, it's interesting to get both of those pieces of feedback there, because I have no interest in League of Legends myself, but then we were just kind of talking about Netflix marketing. This is one of those ones I felt like it was just all over the place, like everybody saying, you should watch this show, you should watch this show. And I know for myself, like some YouTubers I follow and whatnot that don't necessarily, specialize in animated content, they were drawn to it. So as it was coming out, I was thinking like somewhere in the back of my head, should we be covering the show? But you're going to find a through line here when it comes to Netflix content. That's going to be kind of my biggest blind spot. I just, for whatever reason, not to spend too much time on this, but Netflix is always the streaming service that I kind of opt for last. Like Hulu's my favorite. That's the one that I'm always going to be paying for. But if I don't have to pay for Netflix, I subscribe basically month to month for Netflix. But it seems like that I might be shooting myself in the foot there, because it seems like Netflix has really got a lot of great animated content.
And it's also one of the reasons that we love talking to the listeners, is because we have our preferences and like our list of things that we want to hit. But if there is stuff that like isn't as high on our priority list that the rest of the world is like, oh my God, you need to watch it. Like, we want to know that people are actually interested in like wanting to know our thoughts on this stuff, so that we can, you know, just hop on it a little more.
Very true.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, especially when you talk about streaming services like that, we don't have time to look at all of them, watch all of them, or pay for all of them. So there could be some random thing that comes out on Crunchyroll, which, you know, we don't all have, but could be really good. So it could be a huge blind spot that I'm not even going to click on the article that says now out here. So yeah, by all means, we're in a world where so many things go unnoticed. If there's something you guys really, really like, we'll kind of try and do that.
Content overload.
All right. Who we got next? It should be a familiar name to anybody that's listened to this show for any number of episodes.
Yes. So next up, we have TJ Stafford. And although he didn't have anything extra to say, he tagged onto this last one of Jordan's, just saying that he agreed that Bad Batch, What If, and Arcane are some of the best things that he got to watch in 2021, which I'm almost upset that he didn't say anything extra about Young Justice with all the fantastic, listenership he's given us.
Given at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely appreciate you, TJ. Thanks for, always tuning in and sending us feedback. It's one of my favorite adjectives to describe you, but you're one of our most stalwart listeners, and love you.
What if agreed with above like refers to literally everything above and not just the one?
It was specifically in a comment chain. I made sure this one was done right because I recognized TJ's name. I wanted to make sure we were getting whatever his thoughts were.
Yeah. Okay, next up is one that we haven't talked about at all. So Bianca Fernandez sent in Ron's Gone Wrong, which I've seen the trailer for. I think I remember when it came out theatrically. So I know a little bit about it, but didn't check it out. I think it's a DreamWorks joint, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe.
Yeah, that's one that was on my list. And then when I was at Best Buy, I think like 2 days ago, I saw it on the shelf and I was like, I totally forgot about this one. I was actually interested in it.
Okay, but you haven't seen it yet.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird because I also saw that you can watch it on Disney Plus.
Okay, so then it's probably not a DreamWorks joint. Oh, actually, maybe it is.
But it's also on some other streaming services. So I don't know who did this or what it was, but I agree. It was a really intriguing concept. And I think it's one of those that may have been unfortunately snubbed by the state of the world. They went to streaming and DVD release earlier because it seemed like it didn't hit theaters for very, very long.
Yeah.
So
it was 20th Century Studios. That's why it's on Disney.
Oh, okay.
Plus. Ah, there it is. Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because I could be mistaken here, but did Ice Age not somehow get absorbed by Disney?
They did in the 20th Century deal. As well.
That's what it was. Okay.
So yeah, they're still making the movies like Free Guy and stuff under the 20th Century moniker.
Right.
But when they bought Fox to get the X-Men, they also got all of the Fox movies that were in production at that time. So we don't know if they're going to keep making them, but all of the ones that were in production will still be under that name, at least for the foreseeable time that they have that.
I think Free Guy is actually supposed to be hitting Disney Plus sometime soon.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
I'm excited. I have not gotten a chance to see that. I know all great things about it, obviously.
That's one that I missed in theaters, but I bought it as soon as it came out on digital because I just heard so much about it. I'm so glad that it wasn't spoiled for me. But yeah, watching that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Not to get off on too much of a tangent, but all I'll say is catchphrase. And the last thing I'll say about Ron's Gone Wrong is just in terms of like talking about some of the like production and release woes or what have you. It reminds me a lot of another one that I haven't seen yet, but there was this one called Spies in Disguise with like Tom Holland and
That was a funny one.
Yeah, with Will Smith, and it was just kind of like released at a weird time, and it was like Disney ended up marketing it, but you could tell it wasn't a Disney original. But yeah, just interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. That was funny.
All right, who we got next?
KT Lisbeth Abraham says, Raya and the Last Dragon and What If? You have great taste. Raya and the Last Dragon was incredible.
Yeah, you mentioned Guru Irvin earlier, and we were lucky enough to have a martial arts expert. I mean, not to take anything away from Yuzu here, you've been practicing.
Oh, I'm no expert.
Yeah, but that was one of my favorite episodes we did. It was just really cool to get the cultural aspects that I didn't pick up on at all. And it's just a wonderful film. I loved it the first time I watched it, and was I didn't quite cry, but I definitely welled up a little bit, and I didn't lose any of that emotional payoff on the second viewing. So if you have not seen Raya, I cannot recommend it highly enough.
And you should definitely listen to that episode and then go watch it again, because it was really nice having Gur Irvin's insight and then just the comparisons to like Filipino culture and whatnot. It was a really fun time.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. So next up, we have Matthew Fox wrote in to give us a little bit of feedback on this. And he said, Luca and Mitchell's versus the Machines and Bad Batch and Invincible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mentioned Matthew Fox earlier, and they host the Star Wars Universe podcast, so it's fitting that Bad Batch is on this list, but I'm a little surprised to see that they included Invincible. They also host a podcast called Superhero Ethics, and I'm imagining that's probably where he got most of his enjoyment out of Invincible, because it was definitely graphic and gory and turned a lot of people off, but that was one of my favorite things about it, was just that it wasn't afraid to go there. But just interested, it does surprise me a little bit to see it included on this list, but I'm very glad that it is. Luca has not been brought up at all, but I have not seen Luca.
So I got to guest host on his Invincible episode.
Ah, there we go.
And yeah, we easily could have done like 3 or 4 episodes off of that with just the number of, oh man, just questionable things that was going on in that show. Like, there was so much to talk about, and so much that he's just got to be wrong in the head for so many different ways, from like stealing somebody's body to, you know, taking soldiers and mind wipe. There was so much. It was I got angry in that episode, like just talking about some of the stuff when we actually hit it in depth. So, you know, that was just, that was a playground for superhero ethics. That was definitely fitting to everything that show was about. For Luca, I feel really bad because I put it on once and I fell asleep.
Ooh.
It was interesting. I do need to watch it again and stay awake for the whole thing. the concept's interesting though. It's about as G-rated as you can get for like, I don't know, Twilight level vampires.
Huh.
Like, instead of sparkling in the light, you turn into a mermaid in the water.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say it sounds interesting. I didn't have a chance to watch that either, but
yeah. I had kind of heard the general consensus that it was very G-rated and played it pretty kid-friendly, but other than that, the main thing that stood out to me is that it kind of seemed like a little bit of a departure for Pixar in terms of their animation style. As I recall, things are very much more rounded in terms of like the character features and whatnot. You don't get really like any sharp angles whatsoever. So it just kind of gives it, we kind of described the Wish Dragon as being a little bubbly, but I would kind of equate this the same way. It gives me that kind of Play-Doh feel.
I don't want to speak too much on it because I don't know too much about it, but apparently there are like issues with Disney Animation and Pixar like in-house.
Ooh.
And they've been like having beef with each other and they're trying to focus more on the Disney Animation, less on the Pixar. I don't understand like the full situation behind it, but it has been stuff that's been coming up. So it's like, I'm questioning like the longevity of Pixar stuff and if it's just going to be absorbed in at some point. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was going to say, because in 2020 specifically, they had the two movies of Onward and Soul that came out under the Disney and Pixar, and both of those felt very much, like you said, a departure from the usual animation style that they had, and something that was a bit more bubbly and elongated, and Soul was still a very good movie. I did not hear a lot of things about Onward, which was where it first felt like they kind of had that misstep that it didn't even look like Pixar. So people were like, is this a DreamWorks movie? Is this a Pixar movie? So there was a lot of that going on. So I'm interested to see where they go going forward. But that said, everything I've heard about Luca, despite it being kid friendly, was still, it's a very fun bout at what's going on, as well as, was Encanto Pixar as well, or is that still just that Disney Animation?
Just Disney Animation, yeah.
Okay, so if Luca was the only thing they did, that was still fairly good from what I heard. For
the two movies that you mentioned, Onward and Soul?
Yes.
Both fantastic movies.
Yeah, not to get on too much of a tangent, because Onward came out in 2020, and it was one of the first ones that was really impacted with the pandemic. I think it was like in theaters for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then wound up on Disney Plus like within like 3 or 4 weeks after that. But that one did speak to me again, just relationships between brothers, particularly, as well as with their father and whatnot. Like, that was one I cried at the end, so it got me. Can't speak to Soul, though. I kind of fell in the same boat where I feel awful about it because I know it's really good, but just my timing was bad. I think I was exhausted. I put it on and fell asleep and just have not found the time to revisit it, but I want to.
I mean, we're talking a lot about these movies, so I'll skip a little to James Hewings, who mentions Bad Batch, Star Wars Visions, Luca, Soul, and Raya. So that's all Disney. So clearly they've had like a good rap. It went over my head already. Did you say that you did see it or didn't see it?
I did not. I only watched the first few minutes and I fell asleep.
I think you probably would enjoy it because it hit me as an artist really well. Like, sure. I wouldn't say it was one of like the top notch ones, but it was above average. It was very enjoyable. And like that, the state of mind that they talk about, where it's like you get so lost into your art that you're like, you transcend from it, that you're like in your own little world, that like level of meditation, that was like, it was the concepts that really hit me in that movie more than like the implementation itself. It was really cool.
Yeah,
it was very Inside Out vibes.
I love Inside Out, so that's I'm sold all over again. All right, so considering that we skipped around a little bit, I think we're on me. I'll say for Christopher McGinn, they mentioned a lot of ones that have already been brought up: Invincible, What If, Soul, Luca. But this one's pretty unique. They've got Rick and Morty on there, and I think people are probably surprised that this is the first time we've mentioned Rick and Morty on this show at all. Yeah, yeah. I do love some Rick and Morty. I don't know if I'm current. I think I watched through season 4, but I have not seen anything from season 5. But yeah, Rick and Morty is awesome. It's definitely mature content.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm glad it got mentioned, and maybe one of these days, maybe we'll bring in a guest that has particular love for Rick and Morty. I know Dan Harmon was involved, and
Roiland, I believe.
Justin Roiland, yeah, Justin Roiland. And I know he's great. He does the voice of both Rick and Morty. So Morty, it's my one-armed man, Morty. That's the best Rick I got. And let me see, I used to do a Morty impression, but Rick. Rick, why you gotta be like that to my sister Summer?
Way up your butt, Morty. Come on, Morty, just put it way up your butt.
All right. I think that's all we got for Rick and Morty.
That's one of those shows where it's like, it's so all over the place, it's kind of hard to cover unless you're just doing it one season at a time or whatnot. Like, it's one of those things, like, if they did it, if there were a season to come out this year and it was weekly, I wouldn't mind doing it by episode, but, like, covering a whole season at once, like, it's just so all over the place, it's really hard to keep up with.
For sure. That's one of the most out there shows to ever exist. I don't know how you could attempt to structure talking about more than one little thing at a time.
True. I do kind of hope, as a Marvel fan, that they take some inspiration. They already have. I know the reason I brought up Dan Harmon is because they brought him in at the last minute for the first Doctor Strange film to do some tweaks to the script there, just to make the, like, time travel and paradox, like, continuity all work out. But I really kind of hope, with the introduction of the character of Kang, that we get a Council of Kangs that is somewhat akin to the Council of Ricks. That'd be pretty great.
That would be. And one thing for Dan Harmon, he is a very intelligent guy, despite writing, no offense to Rick and Morty, one of the stupidest shows I think I've seen. Like, the humor is so out there, but it's so intelligently written that it just makes it funny. Like, if anyone else had written that, I think it would all fall flat. But he is such a smart guy in the way he writes and delivers stories that it's a very well done job. So I'm glad to hear that he had something to play in that whole understanding time travel and paradoxical situation stuff. I hope he's on retainer for the remainder of phase four of Marvel.
I mean, hey, he did Community with the Russo brothers, so it makes sense that they would bring him in. They seem to be a good pairing.
Hell yeah. Okay, who we got next?
I think now we're down to Tyler Mass.
We got Zachary Baker. No worries.
Zachary Baker, going back to What If and Invincible.
All right.
And because I just brought him up, Tyler Mass says, Big Mouth on Netflix, enjoyed the comedy of younger years in grade school to be both relatable and cringeworthy. I can't say I've heard of that one.
Oh, really? I'm interested that you haven't heard of it. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
Big Mouth was on Netflix for, what, four seasons now, I believe?
That sounds right to me.
It came out, if I had to guess, around 2016, 2017, because it was right around when I was going into college was when it started to take off on Netflix. And full disclosure, Tyler's a very good friend of mine. I was like, hey, write something in. So thanks, cool. Tyler. He's one of the people that turned me on to the show in the first place, because it is one of those kind of off the wall. It's about the coming of age puberty point in people's lives, and it's so cringy, but you watch some things and you're like, oh, this is really how a lot of us were, wasn't it? So it just gets relatable and funny in really bizarre ways. Say what you will about the animation style, but it's a good delivery of the material for sure.
I'm glad you say that, because I'm looking at the images and it's like, yeah, looking at that alone would make me say no, but knowing that Nick Kroll, Jenny Slate, and Jason, I can never say his name,
which Jason is it?
Jason
Mantzoukas. Yeah,
him. The fact that they're in it makes me go, interesting.
It was critically acclaimed in the first few seasons, I believe it.
It's got 99% on IMDb.
People love it. It is one of those.
Oh, like, Rotten Tomatoes, sorry.
Yeah. It's like I said, it has so many things that a lot of us went through as teenagers that everyone's like, okay, this is really, really relatable.
Yeah. Again, I am very familiar with it. It's been it's got the highest acclaim and it's been marketed really well, but I have not watched it yet. Part of that may be the aversion to the animation style, but yeah, knowing the talent behind it, I'm a big Nick Kroll fan. He's absolutely hysterical. So I will double down on my efforts to revisit that one next time that Netflix subscription gets re-upped.
He's the douche on Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it a radio with the douche?
Or, shout out to Pandavision. I did coverage with Brian V. Klein of the Source Pages podcast, as well as with Karen Huffstetler, who's appeared on a lot of Bingers Assemble. We covered What We Do in the Shadows, and he is a favorite guest star. He appears as Simon the Devious, and just check the show out alone for his two appearances, I will say. But moving on.
Yeah, I think this is our last one.
We got a whole anime list.
Yes. another friend of mine, Jillian Kurtick, she said Jujutsu Kaisen, it started in 2020 and then is still coming out in 2021. Skate apparently is a slice of life anime. I've never heard of it before. It's SK8 for any of the listeners out there who's questioning the show. The Way of the House Husband and Demon Slayer Mugen Train. And I am just going to shout out right now, Way of the House Husband is hilarious. It is not one of those anime that I'm like, oh, you're going to watch it because it's like great animation or some special story. It is a Netflix anime that they contracted a Japanese company for, obviously. And they wrote these like 6 to 8 minute shorts. And, you know, each one is just this quick, okay, what's happening today in this person's life? But the guy is a disgraced Yakuza member who becomes a house husband for like his sister, I believe is what it is. Okay. So he's going on these strange misadventures where like you can imagine someone from the Yakuza trying to get his dry cleaning done and get, you know, the red jelly off of his shirt that definitely doesn't look like red jelly as he's covered in tattoos. So it's just one of those crazy off the wall, hilarious, like they write the comedy really, really well. If you're looking for something fun and short, like late at night, put one of those on because you'll just kind of have a little laugh about it. I really, really enjoyed it.
That's great. That's been one of my favorite things about this episode we're doing so far, is just getting introduced to these things I've never heard of and having new things to look in. That sounds really wonderful. And I'm excited. Now, do you know anything about Jujutsu Kaisen?
Yes. I am unfortunately only halfway through it.
Okay.
It's always hard to explain. It's one of those demon-based anime, as there are hundreds of them in Japanese culture. A lot of their lore and history, I have found out, is based around demons.
Sure.
In the same way that we kind of talk about like unicorns being mythos, they talk about demons, so that's why there's so many anime that surround demons. Basically, it's hard to get into. It's a school of like sorcerers that fight these demons, and they kind of go on the misadventures of the super, super powerful ones that they run into and how they deal with those different things. But it's very, very modern, coming out in 2020. Like in the first episode, they joke like, what's your type of woman, as he's walking into the school? Like that's one of the quiz questions. And his response is Jennifer Lawrence, which like feels so modern to have in an anime or something. You're expecting it to be, you know, a Japanese person that is probably very popular, but we've never heard of. It's very relatable in that regard, and it holds very high regard for only coming out at the beginning of this past year.
Interesting. Well, between that and Skate, which is not the video game, there's a lot to look into there. But that is interesting what you bring up about just the like Asian mythology, including demons so much, because I think back on Dragon Ball, before the character of Piccolo was kind of retconned to be a Namekian alien. Like if you just watch Dragon Ball, he's just Demon King Piccolo. Like he is just a demon. And then obviously we've been talking a lot about Demon Slayer. I can't remember the character's name in Dragon Ball, but there's the pig character that he was really present in Dragon Ball, and he kind of takes a back seat. Yes. Olaf. That kind of reminds me of Demon Slayer as well. You've got these demon characters that they're battling against, but there's always kind of like a pig-like character that's very irreverent and kind of rude to his friends and kind of looks out for himself first and foremost. A lot of that takes inspiration from Journey to the West, which featured like those kind of archetypical characters. So good stuff. All right. Well, I think we have gotten through the feedback for 2021. So at this point, we can take turns kind of addressing anything that wasn't brought up that was a particular highlight for ourselves. Who wants to go first?
I don't think I have too much that didn't cross over. We talked about Bad Batch. We talked about What If. We talked about Demon Slayer, Invincible, Raya, Young Justice. Castlevania was one that wrapped up this year. And, oh my God, is the artwork and action just freaking incredible on that. It's like every season is just like a long build up, and then it really pulls through with the last few fight scenes. And this one kind of hit that trend once again. And it wrapped it up in a way where it's like they could keep going if they wanted to. Hmm. And that studio has done other stuff like Blood of Zeus. They also did Masters of the Universe.
Oh, nice. But yeah.
I have my thoughts on that. but yeah, Castlevania is definitely worth a rewatch. On top of that, so like the stuff that was kind of disappointing for me was one Master of the Universe. I didn't watch the original series too much, but just with the hype around it and the fact that it did use that same studio, it was just kind of like, I guess I just kind of expected a little bit more. And have you even gotten to watching the second part of it yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first half, but I think I liked covering the classic series with Brian V. Klein and his buddy Dale. Was the most enjoyment I got out of that whole experience. But you know. Yeah.
So there was that MODOK. It was a fun one-time watch, but it wasn't with the cast that they had. I guess I expected more.
Fair.
I gave it a little too much. And then Visions, while I haven't finished it yet, there have been more meh episodes or episodes that I had like high standards for that didn't quite meet it than there were like really good ones. I mean, I haven't made it past Ninth Jedi, but that one and the first one were kind of like my main notable ones. And the duel just set such a high bar that it was like, okay, when are we going to hit this level again? And Ninth Jedi was the last one to get there for me.
Okay.
So those were kind of my my ups and downs of the animation world this year. I mean, and then My Hero Academia, that last season, while it was one of the slower ones because it's building up so much about the villains, so they kind of had to backtrack a little bit. We have just so much more of the mythos and the story building and more of the villain stuff, so we know that the season that comes out in 2022 is just going to be all bonkers again.
Very good. Very good. Andrew, what do you got?
So yeah, most of my stuff we kind of already talked about. Demon Slayer Mugen Train, obviously, we've talked high and low over the past couple weeks about how amazing that was. What If is going to hold a special place in my heart because it was fantastic and my introduction to the both of you to be able to talk out here. Invincible was just groundbreaking in terms of what could be done outside of anime, kind of in US animation. It felt very special. And then one of the ones that I had that not really many people brought up, and I know this one's just because this show holds a special place in my heart, Adventure Time Distant Lands came out this year. They were four, I think, hour and a half long episodes or whatever you want to call them, just surrounding more of the characters from the original Adventure Time. I absolutely loved that show growing up as a kid. And then one of my best memories of college is me and my buddies watched the entire show front to back in the course of a couple of months and didn't know how much of a connected story the show actually had. So we like laughed, cried, and everything in between at a kid's show. So getting to see a little bit more of that story this year was really, really fun to me. It wasn't anything stellar animation wise because the original show really wasn't, but the stories they told in these hour and a half chunks were super duper compelling. So if you like the original, I would definitely recommend that. And then I just have an honorable mention that was, it didn't come out this year, but it was kind of the end of 2020 into 2021. That resurgence that Avatar The Last Airbender had when it hit Netflix was an awesome time to be a part of animation community. The way that people were talking about that show again, that is one of the best animated shows to ever come out, I would definitely say. Like being a part of a community of people, whether it was through this podcast or otherwise, that were super hype about that show was just such a fun time to be a fan of animation. So I wanted to kind of throw that out. And then if I'm allowed to say it, Animation Deliberation came out in 2021. It's this cool podcast. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. One of my favorite things to come out of this year.
You're too kind. You're too kind.
I had to throw it out there as we're talking about this year in review for animation.
Well, appreciate you. Appreciate you. Glad we brought you into the fold. Yeah, so for myself, I do have to say, I'm glad you brought up Adventure Time as well as Avatar, the Last Airbender, because that's one of those shows that there's such a fervent passion for. Like when we do cover it, we've got a laundry list of people that I'm sure want to hop on the cast and talk about it.
Read Rise of Kiyoshi. I don't read books. Okay. I have not willingly read a book since probably middle school. And they made two books, Rise of Kyoshi and Shadow of Kyoshi, that are canon on Avatar The Last Airbender about Kyoshi and the mayhem that she had to go through and how they found out she was the Avatar. And, oh, that poor girl. It was, her life is absolute chaos. And the books were so well written, I could not put them down. It is worth a read. Even if you don't read books, you will read this one. Like Avatar The Last Airbender. It had to be said.
Duly noted.
Because they came out the last couple of years, too. So it's very recent.
Okay. Sweet. Sweet. Yeah. As for myself, I already took the opportunity to kind of talk about my love for Invincible and that special moment. Calling it special is kind of weird, but impactful moment. I am glad that Yuzu here brought up My Hero Academia, because mine... I just said My Hero Academia binge, because I never watched the show until 2021, and I watched all the way through all four seasons. I need to start season 5, and it's just getting to that point where I'm not going to wait for the dub anymore. I'm just going to watch the sub. And a lot of that is because of Demon Slayer. I've been watching Demon Slayer and enjoying the sub just as much, so I'll get back to it. Outside of that, I wanted to mention the show Archer. They aired their new season, and it was the last season that Jessica Walters will be a part of, because she passed away this year. And the salute that they gave to her on the show was very fitting, very beautiful, and very appropriate. So just really appreciated that. And a lot of people will know her most from her role on Arrested Development. She was the mother on Arrested Development, and she played Archer's mother on Archer. She was Mallory Archer. Other than that, I wanted to give a shout out to Hitmonkey. That was one of those Marvel shows that was going to be appearing on Hulu that I always knew that I'd have some level of interest in covering, but that show was just a blast. It never hit the levels like Invincible in terms of the gore and violence, but it just towed this really nice line between comedy and violence. And Jason Sudeikis does a great job as kind of the voice for the show, because the main character is a monkey. And he's not a talking monkey. You hear screeches and oohs and ahs from this monkey. So you need somebody to kind of act as that voice for you. And it was just really good. And a friend of the show, Blake Geilenfeld, joined me to talk about that one. It was kind of nice. He actually gave me the volume of Bullets and Bananas from Hitmonkey as a gift. So really, really special for me.
So. Yeah, I just don't need to watch that. But you just saying Jason Sudeikis makes me want to watch it, because... God, do I love him in Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That show was a godsend.
Yeah, I got through the first couple episodes of Hitmonkey. I don't pay for the premium Hulu, so mine has ads, so I just get so sick of it, so I need to watch things, like, over time. But the couple episodes I got through were so much fun, I need to do that so I can also listen to you and Blake talk about it at some point.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a lot of fun, for sure.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, so I think that takes care of everything for 2021, which is fitting because we're getting close to an hour here. So we'll have to be a little bit quicker with our stuff of 2022. But I think that'll be okay, because that's a lot of speculation. And I think we're going to get a fair amount of crossover for one property in particular. Yeah. That people seem to be pretty...
I can burn through those for you real quick.
Yeah, what you got?
All right, so we have... Spider-Verse, 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 and then Harley Quinn Season 3, Spider-Man Freshman Year, Sing 2, Bad Batch Season 2, Dragon Ball Super, Lightyear, One Punch Man, Demon Slayer, Attack on Titans Final Season, Chainsaw Man, and... the Jujutsu Kaisen movie, and in case I missed it, Spider-Verse.
That was the best part about getting the feedback, both off of the Instagram and putting this all together, was how many people put Spider-Verse. And Zuhair didn't say some, because I just started leaving things blank, and just because people were commenting in threads of like, oh yeah, this movie's coming out, it's going to be so much fun. Like, every single person was just hammering home that Spider-Verse was the number one thing that they were excited for.
I mean, rightly so. That first movie was just such a delight and so wonderful. And I think it really came out of left field for a lot of people. But I know Chris Lore or Chris Lord and Phil Miller, or maybe I'm Chris Miller, Phil Lord. I can't remember which it is, but Lord and Miller. I know that they were involved as producers for that one. They've done a lot of great stuff in animation and live action. I know they did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and Clone High for
such
those
a good
fans
movie.
Out there. Yeah, yeah, but.
I love the puns in the second one so much.
That's one of those good bad movies. Like, it's not a great movie, but it's so much fun to watch.
That's your opinion. I love that movie.
Well, the thing about the first Spider-Verse, as much as it like kind of like pushed the envelope with the animation style, and it kind of did that, the thing with the frame rate where it actually felt like you were kind of like flipping through the pages of a comic to get the action, I really felt like it. No Way Home has a lot. It owes a lot to Into the Spider-Verse, not Across the Spider-Verse. That's the new one. Into the Spider-Verse, just because that was, I really think what made, you know, the multiverse more of a household concept, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, that was like the Marvel demand. The week that movie came out was, well, now we need three live action Spider-Mans together. Like,
yeah, I don't think we would have gotten that movie had it not been for Spider-Verse doing as well as it did, because it made everyone okay with this idea of things being different, because they could have played Spider-Verse in a much different way of like, oh, we're going to bring in these alternate Spider-Men, but by specifically putting it not on quote unquote our Earth and giving us the female Doc Ock and the weird brands to kind of let you know that there's other stuff going on that we want to care about, I think made people more okay with these things that we care about coming into our Spider-Man world as we knew it in the MCU. So they played it beautifully without, I think, intending that to be the final result. Because I haven't heard many people clamoring to get the X-Men in, whereas every single person the day Spider-Man came out was like, we need three Spider-Men, whereas I have always been on board with the X-Men coming in. But that's also my opinion.
And Jake Johnson is an American treasure who deserved to be in that live action movie, beer gut and all, in a Spider-Man suit.
Well, I know joining the cast for the new one, we've got Oscar Isaac, who's appeared in a number of Marvel properties already, is going to be our Moon Knight. But just that little snippet that we got in the trailer, I mean, it's a phenomenal trailer, but that was the thing that engaged me right off the bat, was the changing art style. He goes through a portal, comes out the other end, and then you just got this like art style that's like has no outlines at all. It seems a little more 2D than the stuff that we were seeing before, but I'm all on board. That's one of my favorite things about animation, is just being able to change up the style and do different things. And this movie seems perfectly set up to basically do everything under the sun. Maybe we'll get some noir sequences, and I mean, they can really go anywhere with it. I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, I think there's a chance we're going to have to do two podcasts about that. One just to gush about the story, and a whole other one just to talk about the art. If they keep giving us like different worlds with different art styles, we'll be able to go talk about that for however long. And we've only seen 30 seconds of this movie.
Right. Yeah.
Keeping on the Spider-Man train a little bit, Spider-Man freshman year.
Yeah, that's one of my most anticipated for the new Marvel series that they did on, you know, Disney Investor Day, or was it Disney Plus Day? I'm getting the two misconstrued, but whatever. When they announced that one, and we know that it's going to be a part of the MCU forthright, that's always exciting for me. What If was the first one to really do that, and now we've got a brand new animated series that hopefully everybody that is fully on board for the MCU will join us for that one as well.
Yeah, it seems like we may get the origins of his powers and whatnot through animated form.
Yeah, I want to know where the spider came from. Like someone pointed out after No Way Home, if there's no Oscorp, like he doesn't know who Norman Osborn is, where did the spider come from that bit our Peter Parker?
Oh,
because the other two Spider-Men were bit by Oscorp spiders. Where did this one come from? So I kind of hope they answer that question in that show.
That's a really good point. But it also makes me think of things that we know from the Spider-Man mythos that we haven't seen yet. And I'm thinking about Uncle Ben. We're finally going to get our MCU Uncle Ben. And even though he won't be at live action, it'll just be exciting to, as many times as we've seen Uncle Ben, it'll just be nice to see the MCU version of Uncle Ben.
I don't know if I can cry again.
Well,
Yeah, but on the topic of MCU, before we go into the other anticipated stuff that people said for 2022, I don't think anyone said anything about What If Season 2, possibly because we now may or may not know there was a, call it a leak or what have you, Japanese website for Marvel official, like in Japan, released image of everything coming out in 2022, and we knew about everything except for a picture that said What If Season 2 somewhere in the summer of 2022. So I just want to throw out there now, if it's happening, I'm excited for it, but we don't really necessarily know whether or not that's going on. But I wanted to throw that in as we're on the topic of Marvel stuff. I need to know more about what Uatu is up to now that he's done taking down Multiverse Ultron.
It better not come out, because I did my fantasy draft with Jeff on the MCU cast, and I drafted with the intent of that show not coming out, so it's going to do words that I cannot say on this podcast if it comes out. So, no. Please wait till next year.
Yeah, I was going to say that it was on my list of most anticipated things too, but I don't want to put myself in Zuhair's crosshairs.
J. Scotty knew. He was drafting specifically to take you down. That's what that was.
Have you drafted yet?
I have not. I need to.
Oh, okay.
We started seeing the messaging going back and forth that we were already registered and whatnot, so I'm sure that'll be happening very soon.
Sweet. Andrew, you registered?
I'm not registered.
Oh, well, you need to get on that.
I think okay. I do.
We are referring to the fantasy draft that Zuhair and Sarah Day put together for last year. Now it is a official part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, which is a show that's part of the Stranded Panda Network here that we are a part of. And I always call it the flagship show because it's really where everything started. It's what brought all of us together, you know, one way or another. Matt and Jeff are kind of responsible for that. So
it's the 2008 Iron Man of this network.
Exactly. Exactly.
There you go. All
right. Okay. So what else did we?
Staying on the superhero end of things, the Harley Quinn season 3 was mentioned. I haven't finished 2 yet, but I absolutely love that show. It is hysterical.
Yeah, agreed. It's one of those ones that I normally sit down when I've got some free time and I'll watch like 2 or 3 episodes, but I haven't had like a full on binge for it yet. I'm somewhere probably in the halfway range for season 2, but it's wonderful. It's very mature, so be prepared. There's going to be a lot of F-bombs, and they're kind of irreverent with some of your favorite characters. I love the way they treat Batman. Diedrich Bader is he's actually one of my favorite Batman, I will say. In terms of the voice performance, but then Commissioner Gordon, he's such a punching bag in that show.
Clayface is the one that I wasn't prepared for.
Oh, good
call. The thespian lifestyle.
With Alan Tudyk doing dual roles there, he does Clayface as well as the Joker, which if you listen to our Young Justice coverage, I did not like that iteration of the Joker, but I love Tudyk's take on the Joker.
So good.
Oh yeah.
Let's see, Bad Batch season 2 got at least one mention here, right?
Yes. I didn't know that was confirmed for this year though.
That's what I was wondering, but
I don't know if it, I know we're getting a season 2, but they didn't necessarily say when, but season 1 just kind of was announced and then like a couple months later it was like, here it is. So it could be any time.
Yeah. If it does come out this year, I'll be interested to see like how much crossover it has with like the Book of Boba Fett that's coming out right now. Obviously, we got to see the character of Fennec Shand in Bad Batch season 1 there, so it seems like Star Wars is really thriving in the TV show realm as opposed to the movies, which is, you know, not necessarily
like
a bad thing.
Keeping everything close to the original trilogy too.
Yeah, there's a whole period of time that we really know nothing about, so it's nice to be able to fill in those gaps.
Yeah, Filoni is doing a really good job of taking all those threads that we had and just sewing them into a nice perfect show of here's what you want to see, here it is.
Yeah. I guess on the anime side of things, we do have the final season of Attack on Titan, which I know we've kind of discussed off air. That is a show we might do some catch up on in time for that season or that final season there. So definitely tune in for that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ones, just because we're kind of locked in on Demon Slayer. We'll just kind of take our time with it like we did with Young Justice, kind of go by arc and just watch all of it together, because I've only seen up until season two. So it'd be nice if all of us just kind of watched it together and had genuine reactions together on it.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, I will say, from a listener perspective, that was one of the really cool parts about Young Justice, was Zuhair having seen a bunch of it and Jay Scotty not. You got these two different perspectives, so you guys kind of having that watch through together will definitely bring a lot of that energy right back through to the coverage.
Sweet. I'll have somebody like designated to break up the arcs for me, so I don't have to spoil myself on it.
There you go.
And I mean, I have a couple of friends who are really into the show, so maybe we can have some of them hop in for an arc or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know it's one of the most celebrated animes out there, and for good reason. Now, educate me on Chainsaw Man. The name alone draws me in, but I know nothing about it. Oh, you got nothing?
The closest I have, I think I've seen some screenshots of the manga out there where it is literally a dude with a chainsaw head. I couldn't tell you anything about the story, but I feel like I have seen pictures of Chainsaw Man, and I feel like he was a background character in something that then got his own story because people loved him so much. I could very well be wrong. I could be thinking of a different man with a chainsaw head, and this is something completely different. But
he's got a head for a chainsaw.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about I've heard the word Chainsaw Man all over the internet, but it's never been something that I'm like, well, it's intriguing, but we have enough anime to talk about most of the time anyway. But I'm pretty sure. Did you find anything, Zuhair?
It's a Yakuza-based story. I mean, the plot that I found was just so long, there was no way I was going to read all of that. When his father died, Denji was stuck with a huge debt and no way to pay it back. Thanks to a devil dog, he saved Dame Pochita. He is able to survive through odd jobs and killing devils for the Yakuza. Pochita's chainsaw powers come in handy against these powerful demons.
Okay.
I would just leave it there. That sounds like perfect. Not spoiler. Here we go.
Yeah, the rest of what I read sounds kind of spoilery. So, yeah. I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, then I guess the final mention that we got for animes is going to be Dragon Ball Super. What'd I miss?
We did also have.
Yeah, someone... no, it just kind of looks like I was thinking of Edward Scissorhands as while I was looking at the pictures.
We did also have someone say something about One Punch Man. I don't know if.
Oh right, good call. Good call.
I've only seen the first season, but it was so good.
It's so good. How long has the first season been going on? Because aren't there like 900 episodes or something?
No, I think
like
there's three seasons out for One Punch.
Oh, I'm getting, forgive me, I'm getting One Punch Man with
One Piece
confused. Yeah,
I know. No, One Piece is going to like go down to our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Punch Man is about three seasons in, and it had the same problem that Attack on Titan did and a lot of anime, which like they don't announce when something is coming out. It's just surprise it's here, so I lose track of it. But the first season was just truly incredible. The action was insane, but it was so funny at the same time.
Yeah.
And they moved over to a different studio, so the production quality kind of dropped down after that. But I guess it's getting a little more.
Yeah, I want to say that I've seen the first two seasons. I'm getting a little confused about how it was broken up now, but... definitely the title character is the reason to watch. You know, he's got his more serious apprentice, who's a bit of like a cyborg type, it's basically his mission is kind of what's driving the story. But yeah, it's a little bit more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of, they set up these big action sequences, and a lot of times it like he builds up your anticipation so much, and then it's all in the name there. He defeats his enemies with one punch, and he's just so nonchalant about it. So it's really great. Yeah. I'm excited to see more from that one.
And then apparently there's a Jujutsu Kaisen movie.
Right.
Yeah, I believe it's a prequel to the first season.
Okay.
So I don't know how much you would actually need going into it if anyone were looking to watch it, but for all intents and purposes, it should be good.
Then we have Demon Slayer in all its glory.
Right, right.
Yes.
But one Disney one that we missed that's arguably my most anticipated animated content of this year is Lightyear.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
To infinity.
And?
We don't know how it ends.
Just a fist bump. So yeah, we did our whole trailer breakdown for that one. It's at the top of my most anticipated for 2022 as well. I feel like they knew what they were doing so much when they cast Chris Evans, and it's just like it's Captain America. Who else would you want for Buzz Lightyear other than Tim Allen? But I actually think this is a better choice personally.
Who else would you want to explore the depths of the Star Wars universe?
I'm excited for
totally
it.
Totally on Tatooine and Dagobah, and you can't convince me otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good call.
I was just going to say, I'm excited for it. It's not at the top of my list. Not to say that there's any detracting factors. I'm very excited. I just think there's things I'm a little bit more excited for, Spider-Verse being possibly at the top of my list. But one thing that Zuhair and I know very well, we were kind of planning out content for 2022. As we talked about, anime just likes to say, oh, it's done. And then 2 weeks later, it's on whatever network you're watching it on. So there's so many things that are probably going to come out this year that we don't know are coming out.
Right.
So the list wasn't even that long to pick things from to begin with. So I wouldn't be surprised if something else pops up and just blows this out of the water somewhere along the way as well.
True. I just realized I'm getting a little bit of something from all four of my anime Mount Rushmore content. Because we're getting a Dragon. So my four things are Dragon Ball, Naruto, My Hero, and Demon Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
My Hero's coming out later this year. Demon Slayer is going on right now. I'm currently binging Boruto, which is still a running show. Mm-hmm. So like new episodes are coming out every Sunday. And then we have a Dragon Ball Super movie that's going to be heavy on Gohan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting all four this year. They just clicked to me.
Nice.
You are a lucky anime fan.
Yes, sir.
Because there are plenty of us that our favorite anime is not looking pretty for the future anytime soon.
Looking at this list real quick, I think the only thing for anticipation on mine was the Baymax series that we were talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I had that on my list as well. I kind of split my list between movies and series, but yeah, we talked about how that conversation took place off air, but you guys kind of mentioned how Frozen kind of stole some of the thunder from Big Hero 6, but that was, you know, one of the first collaborations between Disney and Marvel, and it's just a really great movie. But yeah, I'm excited.
They got a Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, yeah, they did. Yeah, yeah. But Baymax, I'm sure it's going to be probably more on the kid-friendly side of things, but I'm still excited for it. I mean, Baymax is just the perfect marketing tool right there. Hopefully he sells as well as Baby Yoda or Grogu merchandise.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
So again, to fast forward through this, the things that I missed in 2021. So we talked about Mitchell vs. Machine. We talked about Wrong Gone Wrong, Juju Kaisen. The only thing I'm missing is Fire Force. I watched the first episode, but haven't got much farther on that. Sword Art Online had a movie in October that was about like the first few levels of the first part, which is pretty fascinating, but I haven't seen it yet. And then another anime that we missed was Tressé, which was a detective movie, but it was about demons in the Philippines and a lot of like Filipino lore. Oh, cool. That was another one that we talked about having Guru Irvin on, but we never got around to it. So those are some things that I just plan on watching this year.
Okay.
Because I missed it. Very good.
Andrew, did you have anything from things you missed in 2021 or most anticipated for 2022 that you wanted to address? I have a few more, but I will let you.
Yeah, I've got a couple to quick knock out. You guys talked about One Punch Man. Another anime that studio made is Mob Psycho 100.
Okay.
The first two seasons of it came out, I think it started in like 2016 or something. Again, just kind of one of those off the wall demon fighting based shows, but it has that same dry, witty humor as One Punch Man does.
Nice. Okay,
and
cool.
They have, I think, released a trailer in like December, so we're assuming it's coming out sometime in 2022, but no one has an official release date. But I'm definitely looking forward to that. For all of our Young Justice fans out there, the art director of that show, his name is Phil Barisa. He is also helping with the art direction of a show called Vox Machina on Amazon Prime. I talked about how I don't really love the brand deals, but this one, I believe, is paired with Critical Role, the acclaimed Dungeons and Dragons podcast. I think it's based in their world or whatever, but you can tell by looking at it, it is that same lovable, flat art style of Young Justice. Cool. So I don't know how I'm going to feel about the story because I have no ties to Critical Role, but I think I'm going to probably hopefully give it a shot just because I want to see what else that art style can give us outside of Young Justice and DC content. But speaking of DC content, there's one thing that I have my fingers and toes and everything else crossed for that I'm hoping and praying we... Oh, geez, I hit my microphone. I apologize if that made a loud noise to everyone. I'm hoping and praying
that's
comes out...
That's just how excited you are.
I am. I was giddy, and that's why I hit it. They've announced Batman the Caped Crusader that is supposed to have J.J. Abrams, Matt Reeves. I had the page pulled up. Give me a moment here.
That must be a bad robot production then.
I don't know. Let's see. J.J. Abrams, Matt Reeves, the co-creator of the original animated series, Bruce Timm. They are all signed on as either producers or writers or creators of this new Batman Caped Crusader show that is supposed to take the art from his original showings in Detective Comics 27 and turn it into an animated TV show that is supposed to have that gothic style and everything else. So it sounds super reminiscent of the amazing Batman the Animated Series from the 80s. And I am just hoping and praying that it is both that amazing and comes out in 2022. They announced it at this past year's DC Fandom. So it's like, okay, this could be 2022, 2023. Nobody knows, but that's my like number one thing that I think I'm super hyped for that I don't know whether or not will actually come out, but if it does, it just sounds like they have so many good people behind it. I am so excited. It's no secret to those of you who listen to our Young Justice coverage, I am a DC fanboy at heart, so more Batman makes me more happy.
That whole statement is literally everything that makes me cringe about anime.
What do you mean?
When is it coming out? Give me answers.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh yes, and that's what I don't need the answers. Just give it to me. That's all. Just
the description alone sounds super unique and super exciting to me. I like bringing that classic comic book style to life is something I don't think we've ever seen done. I do think about there were a couple of movies that came out before Adam West passed away that were tied into the continuity of like the 1960s Batman show. And I love those for what they were. It was kind of like one of those things they always wanted to have. Will Shatner appear as Two-Face on the show, but it never happened. And they were able to bring him in as Two-Face in the animated world. So it'll definitely be exciting to see like the talent that you mentioned there, J.J. Abrams, Matt Reeves. I mean, we obviously have Matt Reeves working on, he's directing The Batman, the live action one with Robert Pattinson that'll be coming out in 2022. If we were talking about, you know, non-animated content, I think that's probably at the pretty close to the top of the list for all three of us. But I'll go through mine real quickly. I separated like mine between movies and series. So we brought up Baymax. I'll put an asterisk next to What If Season 2. The other Marvel one that I noted was I Am Groot. And the main thing that stuck out to me about that one is the art style. They said they're going for a photorealistic art style. So I haven't seen anything yet, but just that description has me pretty excited to see what they're going to do. I don't know if it's going to be a huge departure from What If, or we're going to get, you know, just a next level of animation, something kind of closer to Bad Batch or something like that in terms of the textures and the details and whatnot. But definitely excited with that description. The Vin other Diesel one I've got
is glory.
Yeah, exactly. Delivering those three words over and over again.
It could very well just be they're talking about, you know, photoreal animation. Is that just going to be the CG Groot from the movies?
I kind of wondered as well, because I think of the quote unquote live action Lion King that came out, and, you know, people give it flack for being a beat for beat recreation of the original animated series, which it is, but it is an animated film still, because there's nothing on screen that is real. It's all generated from a computer. So it could be just what you're saying there, but that is still technically animated.
Yeah. Sounds really interesting if that's the case, though. That sounds like a monumental project for someone to take on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other one I've got that is connected to a movie series that we haven't seen anything from a long time, but it speaks to me as a fan of horror and horror comedy. It's Gremlins, The Secret of the Mogwai. So looks like it's going to be pretty silly, but I just love the Gremlins. So I'm already on board for that one.
How do you feel about Gremlins 2?
Oh, clearly not as good as the first one, but I still love it.
You still love it. Okay, because there are some fans out there that are like, no, that movie doesn't count. I wanted to know how you felt as a fan of the series.
I watched them young enough, and I watched them probably before I should have. But yeah, I was young enough to where it didn't make a difference to me. It's kind of like, I mean, Home Alone 2 is still a great quality film, but it basically followed the beats of the first one. Beat for beat again. So some people write that one off, but there are so many great moments from that one that I love, and same can be said for Gremlins and Gremlins 2. So yeah, that takes care of my series. We've already discussed a lot of the movies. Obviously Lightyear and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 are big ones for me, but I've got a special shout out here. The Bob's Burger movie. We were supposed to get this movie a long time ago, and I love this series. It's one of my favorite ones when I just kind of want to sit down, get something lighthearted, and just have a laugh. I throw on Bob's Burgers, and it's delightful. So, yeah, like I said, it's been delayed for 2 years, but it's finally supposed to come out this year. So H. John Benjamin, there's a little bit of crossover there from another series I mentioned with Archer. But yeah, if you haven't watched Bob's Burgers, I highly recommend it. And then the other one, I don't know all that much about, but when I saw it on the list, it definitely piqued my interest, and that is Wendell and the Wild. And that is a stop-motion film coming from Henry Selick, who directed Coraline, which was done by Laika. And I am a huge fan of Laika and everything they do. One of my greatest hopes in the world is that we will get a superhero movie done by Laika, and I think Green Lantern is the best one to do that with, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, it's also done by Monkey Paw, who they're actually known for more of their darker stuff, their horror stuff. The Happy Death Day series are a couple of my favorites that have come out of Monkey Paw. But it's Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele reuniting to voice these characters. And they are demon brothers that basically have to go up against a demon casting nun and her two acolytes. So it sounds like it's scratching all the itches for me, the creepy and the horror vibe. But of course, when you got Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, they did team up together outside of Key and Peele and some of the movies they've done together. They were together in Toy Story 4, and they had one of the funniest sequences in that for me. So I'm just pretty excited for this one.
For sure. I didn't know anything about that, but you kind of just sold me on it. So
same.
Yeah. Happy to do so. I really didn't know too much about it, but yeah, it's slated for 2022, so hopefully we see a trailer or something soon. Yeah.
All the demons.
yeah. That
you,
is the...
You mentioning Gremlins and you mentioning Amazon Prime reminded me that Hotel Transylvania 4 is also on Amazon Prime right now.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah. I haven't seen any of the Hotel Transylvania movies, but I feel kind of bad for not doing so because I know they've all been directed by Genndy Tartakovsky, who is one of my favorite creators, you know, from Dexter's Lab to his involvement with the Powerpuff Girls and Samurai Jack. And Primal is a show on HBO Max that, again, I'm kind of working my way through slowly, but I love.
You should definitely watch the first one because it's great.
Okay.
I can't say I remember the second or third because I watched it a while ago and I've only seen it once, but the first one is really great.
Nice. I know it's like Adam Sandler and his usual like group of cohorts, Kevin James, Steve Buscemi, yep. And the like.
And cool. Selena Gomez.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice.
Well, cool. This episode ran a little bit longer than anticipated, but I think we got a lot of enjoyment out of it, and hopefully this was a great feedback episode. I hope it encourages our listeners, our anime enthusiasts, all you out there to continue to give us feedback. And with that in mind, it's been a while since we've got any reviews. Reviews are huge in terms of our visibility on the charts and introducing us to new people. So if you've got a few seconds to spare and you like what we're doing here, please just give us some love on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen. Just drop us a review.
It'd be much appreciated. Can even leave us an updated review.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, well, on that note, I will sign off. Jay Scotty saying, thanks for making 2021 such a great year and super excited for 2022. Keep tuning in. That's TOONIN.
Spider-Verse. Stay whelmed.
Bye, everybody. Muscle, muscle, muscle.
Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/svchat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.